Welcome back to The Minute Who Shagged Me, where we go through the Austin Powers movies 1 minute at a time, continuing with The Spy Who Shagged Me. I'm Johnny, and I'm joined actually by two returning very special guests this week. And whoever wants to go first, live your life.
Well, I'm Doug from Rocky Minute.
And I'm Dave from 5 Minutes of Mystery.
Woo! It's a mashup. Thank you for having us
all. Yeah. We're back. We're back, baby.
You thought you could escape them from us to the moon? Think again. We'll hunt you down.
I was going to say, not even the moon's going to save these people who listen to us.
Ready for a brawl. A brawl on the moon.
And we're also messing with history, because on minute 76, which is where we're at today, I don't think Buzz or Neil actually set foot on the moon.
Is it? So you're saying in this timeline, yeah, like that.
We'll have to ask Jim O'Kane about that one.
Well, the swinger has landed, and that's important, but I feel like the moon is now Great Britain's.
Well, I don't know. All right. So yeah, that was one of the first notes I had was, It's clearly like the American. Now, it didn't say NASA, it says NSA, so they probably couldn't like afford to actually pay to get the real NASA logo. So it's probably something, you know, they abbreviated just NSA. But so I would assume, yeah, it's our shuttle that they renamed Swinger for this mission. So it was whatever the original ones, maybe an Apollo, and they changed it to this or Gemini or something. But Austin, he's wearing the American logo, mm-hmm. Flag is on the spacesuit. So it's like, you can't claim a moon for your country if you're wearing like another country's items.
Exactly.
Is that the rule?
I feel like that's like a, yeah, like that. That's a, I'm trying to think of an analogy to compare, but it's pretty much the moon. It kind of stands on its own.
Yeah. It looks like he's flying this mission for the United States, whatever branch of government he's working for at this time. And he's, being British or not, doesn't matter. He's claiming the moon for America.
Yeah, he's got it. That's got to be in the red tape with that one. And also, like, think of that scene from Apollo 13, and then think of that scene from, Armageddon, where they have to train, you got to train drillers to be astronauts. So now the guy, but I believe training spies to be astronauts is probably way easier. But it's like that Ed Harris vest character from Apollo 13. No, I don't know the name, Jim. Sorry. That guy's probably like, all right. It's like, they're like, they come to him. They're like, all right, we need to land this shuttle. We need to land it near this one specific spot on the moon. And we can't have Dr. Evil realize that we're doing it. And they just throw it to that Ed Harris in the vest character. Mm-hmm. And he gets the blackboard. And he's like, all right. He starts doing the math. He's like, we got to send these two, train them how to operate the shuttle, first of all. And then they got to land on this side of the moon without getting radar scanned by Frau and Dr. Eva. and then land and then like make sure the laser doesn't blow up DC.
That's brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that.
Well, and you also have to. Oh, go ahead.
I was going
to
say, in my mind, that's exactly how it went, Dave. Nailed it.
And this all had to happen, like, this is like a rush job. It's like, they had to leave his volcano base, get back to, like, Cape Canaveral, and then they had to figure all this out in Dallas or whatever.
Well, and also, it's like, meanwhile, the Situation Room, all of the people are trying to convince the president not to blow up the moon in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. All the NASA equivalent. They're like, sir, we can pull this off. We're crunching the numbers. We can do it. We can send Austin Felicity up. We can pull this one off. He's like, I got nuke it.
There's got to be some YouTube video, like what would happen if the moon wasn't there, if we didn't have the moon, or if the moon blew up.
Last week was Dad, and he's afraid of the ocean, and so he said the ocean would kill everyone.
You know, he's probably right. Because the moon controls the tides.
Dr. Evil, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Evil knows that. He's like, you kill me, you're dead too then. Yeah, so Dr. Evil's got the cards here.
Does he?
Can't just destroy me.
Does he?
Oh, he's a madman. I'm not saying it's a smart play. I'm just saying it's a madman's play. He's got the laser plus the, yeah, the if you come after me and blow up the moon, ha ha ha, your whole planet's toast. You got all billions of people to that you just killed. So now that they're inside, I felt like they took off their suits before it said repressurized. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, thinking for a moment, like, Austin was going to have that Total Recall thing where his eyes start bugging out of his head because the atmosphere.
Even before they get inside, you see how, like, their moonwalk is just them walking slowly?
And that's how we faked the moon landing. And done.
We called in Kubrick and we faked
evidence.
It. I definitely think, like, the direction here was, like, we need you to walk like you're in a B movie. Like, a real 50s B movie.
No.
Where like, we're here on the space. We gotta find those aliens. Those scummy villains. You know, like that. And everyone's, like, walking like this because it's the 50s yet. They haven't invented how to pull the moon off. But we know the gravity's lower. That's it.
Yeah, I don't even... What is the effect on walking? You do more of, a float, right? Than just a slow walk.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to bounce like higher because the gravity is lower.
Right. So each step wouldn't necessarily be slower. They'd just be, it'd be little hops in between steps.
I like how they tried to simulate the hops. They're like, if I just kick my back foot up a little bit with a bounce, it looks like there's less gravity.
Yeah, it's perfectly fake how the set just kind of, like, falls off, like, 5 feet behind them. It's like, yeah, that's enough. That's enough set. We get it. We're now in the spaceship.
We get it.
We get it. I don't know. What about... do we have a scientist around to explain how guns work in space? Like,
Oh, no. I didn't even think about that.
Because I'm trying to think. You get a chemical reaction... But there's no air, so I don't think the gun... If they were in a vacuum space, I don't think... The gunfire of the powder wouldn't burn and cause a reaction of firing the bullet.
That's why you have to have, like, energy weapons.
It is. It's the ignition that propels the bullet.
Yeah,
what if you just...
no air to pull off.
Threw the bullet at someone. Threw it.
I don't think it'll have the velocity.
Yeah. It'd be like, next one's coming at you faster, I swear.
I will tell you this, though. Austin, he takes off his space helmet, and as when he's putting it down, he has very bad trigger discipline.
Oh God!
He's got his finger on the trigger as he's putting the helmet down.
He closes his eyes when he fires his weapon. He's like just very shitty with a gun in the first place.
Yeah, Felicity, she's got great trigger discipline. The gun is right perpendicular, parallel with the gun right now. She's got it up. She's not ready to fire yet, even though she could probably fire at anyone on this lab short of Austin and probably hit someone worthy of getting shot. So, and speaking of which, like, you know, there he is, and then just no confirm, just threw a piece of glass and a shadow.
Yeah.
Austin's just so goddamn junky.
Right. That's incorrect. You'd have to identify your target first.
Especially when this man has a laser pointed at the moon. So you got to make sure if he took out Dr. Evil in the shoulder, what if Dr. Evil's just like calls on the radio, like, fire the laser. And then Frau fires laser, boom. Washington's blown up. Jeez.
He's,
you know, no plan.
He's delighted with himself, though. After
he's like, I got him.
Yeah. After he fires.
I'm just afraid of, like, he fired twice. So we went through the partition glass. Hopefully your moon base has bulletproof glass.
Oh, yeah, to the outside.
Yeah, you would have killed everybody.
Oh, yeah, there's a window right behind it. Oh, man.
That's bad.
Good job,
bad
Austin.
Design.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You probably want your moon base to not have any windows if there are guns present, which we see there are many guns.
Many, 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 yeah. I don't know why, for some reason, but I like the fact that Felicity sets him up for a, you know, a cover your rear joke, and you think almost Austin's going to say something, but Austin's like, no, this business is now officially personal. I'm, you know, like, you think he could take the cheap joke? Like, oh no, I'll cover yours or something, or, oh, it's something to be covered, some dumb joke like that, but he's like, actually, no, I got this, like, go on ahead, you know, This is pissed.
That was one of my notes.
So, yeah, he's like
that. He passes up a golden opportunity for a joke. The this time it's personal. That's something we've all heard that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I looked up like where it originated from, and really all I could find was that the first real mainstream use of it was the title of Jaws 4. Not the title. The subheading for Jaws 4, The Revenge, was This Time It's Personal.
That could be it, because I mean, you obviously the phrase "This Time It's Personal" means it's a sequel to something, and yeah, you only go back so far before movies actually even had sequels, and yeah, Jaws 4 is like kind of infamous for being like the last ever needed sequel.
And the beauty of Jaws 4 is that all of a sudden the shark has, is targeting this family, going after the Brodies.
Yeah, he somehow knows, like, oh yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy. This is his family. His wife, she's banging Michael Caine. I gotta come after
him. Oh my God.
This time it's personal. What's next?
Well, next up, after Felicity moves on, we find a friend.
Oh, a little friend, would you say?
A little friend, yeah.
As Felicity points the gun directly at Austin's back. Oh, sorry. So many issues with guns in this.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, yeah, everyone's just very close and tight with the guns. But then Mini-Me is perfect because he's so small, and then he's able to get in it. He closes that distance.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't shoot him, let alone really even get a good punch in, because now he's up on your throat.
But like, where did his gun go?
Was that his silhouette in the window then?
Yeah.
It's just low angled light. Yeah, so
he has like
he's probably on patrol.
He has like a tiny gun.
Yeah, the Uzi must be so small.
Oh my God, you're right, because that gun is about, you know what, 13 inches long, like for an average fighter's hands, and then he has one. Oh man, it really must be small. Oh, that
in the
be
silhouette,
fun.
It's proportional, proportionate.
Just a mini Uzi.
Very mini Uzi.
That's adorable.
And this is really I was going to say this isn't Austin's first time with Mini-Me. No, because Mini-Me's obviously was there in the room when in the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely the first time he's really interacted with Mini-Me, I think. So I don't think he really talked. I'm trying to think if he really talked to Mini-Me. He was more interested in maybe a little bit with Fat Bastard and with Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of bit with Fat Bastard. There was some news.
Yeah, I think that definitely took out Austin's attention rather than like, oh, what is that? Is it a clone of you? Did you clone yourself? You son of a bitch. Steal my mojo and you made a clone? God, I don't kill you now. You're like roaches.
Mini-Me's a pretty adept fighter, though.
Yeah, he's like really good at judo.
He's
ironically.
He's delivering some good quality punches. We don't get too much into the judo, I guess, until next minute, but I like when he somersaults over Austin's back and he lands and does one of those dismount poses from like the gymnastics.
Pure things. Yeah.
I love it.
He's strong and he's nimble. And we know Mini-Me is strong. Like, we're going to see in another minute. So if you think about, like, he's punching you and he's super strong and his fist is also size smaller. Yeah. So the distribution, like, that would be like a piston.
Yeah.
Like, rather than just a big fat fist, it's just like pinpoint, like, bone-breaking punches right in your face and throat.
I mean, for as little as he is, I mean, usually you'd need more leverage, which, you know, more distance between you and your target will cause the force that you need. With his tiny arms, it doesn't look like he can cover that much distance. But, you know, those punches look like they're pretty square.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing is, a standing, like, adult won't they'll be able to like kick him, but there's no way you can return punches unless he's like physically on you like he is now. And even then you can't return them.
You know what the problem is with a target, if you're a regular size human with a target that's close, is you're not getting that distance that you need to generate any force. So it's like me punching this microphone. I'm not really getting any force that's right in front of me. But if I wanted to punch, you know, something that's about 2 feet away, I'd be able to generate that force. So helpful for Mini-Me, not helpful for Austin. And there you have it.
It's all science. It's all science.
Hells yeah.
This is all moon fight science, yeah.
Well, it kind of ends with Mini-Me sticking the landing.
Mm-hmm. Let me see here.
I just wish I had all of this, like, these little pyramids, because they look like they would be soundproofing, and I kind of wish I had that in my house.
It does look like the soundproofing foam.
I got some around my little lab.
That little corridor has a vaguely Star Wars Empire Strikes Back kind of feel, like the tube that Luke walks through in Cloud City.
Yeah, that octagonal shape window that kind of reminds me of a TIE fighter.
Yeah.
I feel like he just wanted to make a spy Star Wars mashup movie, and that was it. That's where this came in.
Well, they're in space, so obviously Star Wars, yeah.
Star Wars, obviously Moonraker.
Obviously.
What else?
I don't know.
Would you live in a moon base?
Oh, man. Am I getting all my supplies shipped to me?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Does Amazon ship to the moon yet?
God, the logistics of, yeah, you're like, oh, well, I want pizza. So you better have a really good pizza factory on the moon.
That's where you go first? Fucking pizza?
Why not?
Well, pizza and bagels, I feel like between that, I would have a good amount of meals, a good round of meals.
It's all bread. All carbs.
Yeah.
you need some protein.
Because they're complex carbs.
The problem...
More complex, now, the better.
With not getting any protein is you can't raise any livestock on the moon, so you're not... Where's your protein source coming from? Not animals.
Mm. I'm guessing... Well, am I an evil mastermind? Is this like an evil mastermind moon, or is it just me? Because I said I obviously couldn't afford the moon, but if I was an evil, you know, mastermind, I probably would, and I'd probably be so evil, I'd probably have Soylent Green, you know, and I know it's people, like I would know it's people, and then happily drink it because I'm evil.
You know it's people, but you don't care.
Oh no! I'm like, so evil.
You get diseases from eating people.
Well, obviously, it's going to be processed well. Like, no one in Soylent Green got sick. It's just, you know, they just didn't realize it was people. At least we never got that far into all the Soylents. People were hungry.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, we are overpopulated. We can trim the fat a little bit.
Yeah.
The fattier the better.
See that fat? Put in a smoothie. There you go. That moon base is sounding better and better.
What, a little chocolate protein powder?
Well, you could also... I bet you could... What if you just had, like, cows? Like, bouncing around the moon in little tiny astronaut suits.
Okay.
I mean...
And that's how you raise cows.
Yeah. And obviously we'd be cloning cows. I'd probably be cloning the same cows over and over again. The ones that tasted the best, I'd probably clone them.
And one cow has a lot of meat on it. So one cow, yeah. if it's just me up there, one cow will last a while.
Yeah.
And I could eat steak all day.
Oh my God, yeah, we would. Big steak boys up on the mountain, on the moon. Oh, yeah.
I just gotta have ice cream and
I
Ramen. Is it, those are is my it two food groups.
Ramen.
Is it astronaut ice cream? Because I'll eat astronaut ice cream.
No, astronaut ice cream tastes like shit.
But it's the moon. You feel like you gotta lean into it. Like, oh, everything's dehydrated. It's fun. It's
no.
It's fun.
You know how you get so excited as a kid? You're at like a space museum or you're at like a science center and they're like, oh yeah, we got astronaut ice cream. They have like Neapolitan and chocolate and like all this shit. And you go, yeah. And then you beg your parents to buy it. They go, all right, I guess. And then you rip it open. You're like, I'm a fucking astronaut, bitch. And you eat it. And then you're like, this tastes like asshole. Why did I pay like $9 for this asshole ice cream?
Nah, every time I go to Franklin Institute, I always go to the gift shop and get a pack.
No.
And then my dad will dad tax me and have a piece.
Listen, I will eat an MRE before I'll eat astronaut ice cream.
Are you? You're not talking about Dippin' Dots, right? What is astronaut ice cream?
No, it's like literal, like a block of like dehydrated ice cream.
And how do you eat it?
Yeah.
You just like a granola bar.
Oh,
like
Jesus.
It's like really super dry chalk, and then you put it in your mouth, and then like your saliva like
activates it,
and then it tastes like the actual. But it's not cold; it's just dry to now.
Tastes like asshole, like Johnny said.
Yeah. I'm gonna get you some and send it to you.
Okay.
Oh, really? Yes.
Because it's like we have the Orlando Science Center here, and then we have Kennedy Space Center really close by, so. Just
they're expensive. I don't want you to blow all your my, Austin Powers
my
budget,
ice cream
you know?
Money.
Yeah, don't blow it all on me.
It's all right. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can't believe you've never had astronaut ice cream.
No.
I mean, good for you.
Right? I'm saving myself. Save myself the torture.
Saving yourself for Dippin' Dots.
No, I would definitely take astronaut ice cream over Dippin' Dots.
What? Why? Dippin' Dots are like real ice cream. They're just nitrogen pebbles.
I hope the listeners enjoyed this. The episode ended like 20 minutes ago, and now it's just
we're
like,
having an ice cream debate. It's all related to space, so it's still
sense. If we lived on the moon, what would be our menu? And that's it evolved into it devolved into ice cream. All right.
Well, if everyone came to my moon base, don't worry. I would provide you all the ice cream, all the different kinds that you want. I just need you to go down and just enter this one chamber, lock the door behind you, and lie down. That's all. When you're done.
No, because I'm going to be a Soylent then. Yeah. And that's not what's happening.
Oh, damn it. That was the plan.
You're not supposed to reveal your plan. That's a classic villain mistake.
God,
Sean told you, he said, to be like the master world dominator, you can't be doing this shit, Dave.
Oh, man, he's going to be so mad at me. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we get more of a fight scene tomorrow, so we get to see some judo action.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got to come back for minute 77. But do you guys want to plug your shows?
Go ahead, Dave.
Sure. My show, 5 Minutes of Mystery, I cover the 1999 superhero comedy ensemble Mystery Men in 5 minute sections.
I am a host of Rocky Minute, where we cover the Rocky movies 1 minute at a time. Look for Rocky Minute on all your podcatchers and you'll find us.
Woo. Everybody go take a listen. And then come back tomorrow for minute 77. And also join the Electric Psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club, where we all hang out when we're not doing this. But in the meantime, don't forget, stay groovy.